body. And for this reason, the intercession that the Muslim team believes in is rejected on the day of resurrection, as it was rejected by the Quran and the Prophet from Allah and the Son of the He will come and prostrate to his Lord and praise him, and he will not begin with his intercession at first. It will be said afterwards, raise your head, speak, and it will be heard. Ask, and you will be given, intercede, and his intercession will be granted. So this is the kalam of Abu al-Abbas, and it was reflected in the interpretation and the explanation that we have given. And the explanation that we have given is a reflection of what was mentioned in this book. And then we move to a hadith that shows us who are those people who are worthy of the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are they the believers, the disbelievers, the hypocrites? Who are those people who are worthy of the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment? عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يا رسول الله قال من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. أبو هريرة said to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم who will be worthy of your intercession, O Prophet of Allah? He said, the one who says La ilaha illallah sincerely with the pure intention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of tawheed, the people of sincerity, not the hypocrites and not the associators and those who take partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, but those who say La ilaha illallah with sincerity. The one who says La ilaha illallah with sincerity with his tongue, that implies and it has to be coupled with learning the meaning of La ilaha illallah and studying the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Not only looks perfect, because المنافقين in Surah المنافقون they say نشهد إنك لرسول الله. We testify that you are the messenger of Allah. Allah answered them and he said, and Allah knows that he is his messenger and Allah knows that you are hypocrite. So it's not only by saying it in the tongue, but saying it in the tongue, and this statement is a reflection of sincerity in the heart that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And if there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, that puts upon us many conditions by which we have to live. That means Allah is the supreme authority over us. His book is the constitution of our life. His religion is the boundary in which we live. All of that is attachment to our sincere belief that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Read after what it says after that.
The essence of the matter is that it is Allah.
No, the line still.
So this intercession is for those people who, excuse me, those people with pure intent. If Allah so wills, and it will not be for those who commit shirk. The essence of the matter is that it is Allah who is above all imperfection, who favors the people sincere in their worship and forgives them through the medium of the invocation of whoever they are given permission to intercede, as an honor to him and to comfort and to confer upon him his highest place. The intercession which is rejected and denied in the Quran is that which involves shirk. And this is why a confession is confirmed and affirmed by the permission of Allah in many cases. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear that this confession will not be for other than the people of Tawheed and Ikhlas.
So the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will benefit those who have sincere Tawheed in their heart. But it does not benefit those who take partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the more of a person, the highest his level of sincerity, the more he's going to benefit from the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the hadith says, who is most worthy of your intercession? It says those people of sincerity. That means the more sincerity we have in the statement, in the stating La ilaha illallah, the more we're going to be worthy of the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So keep in mind, what will defy our sincerity is shirk. And shirk does not only for us to worship a statue. This is a form of shirk. But also there are other forms of shirk that are hidden, that can creep to our hearts and we are unnoticed in it. Some of that is showing off, hypocrisy. إن الشرك أخفى من دبيب اللمن على الصفاء. Shirk is more hidden and unnoticeable than an ant crawling on a rock. Can you hear the foot, how it's crawling? Can you hear it move motion? You cannot hear that. This is how the shirk can creep to our heart. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify us from shirk, and we go through the issue. The first issue is tafsir al-ayat, explanation of the verses, that means the verses that were mentioned in this chapter. Sifat al-shafa'at al-manfiyya, description of the rejected intercession. The rejected intercession is without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sifat al-shafa'at al-mustafa, description of the affirmed intercession. And it has three conditions that we have talked about. ذكر الشفاعة الكبرى وهي المقام المحمود. The greatest intercession, and this greatest intercession being the highest place. I would prefer to translate it as the station of praise. المقام المحمود, the station of praise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the only human who will be in the station of praise. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honoring his slave and messenger Muhammad bin Abdullah. الصفة ما يفعله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا يبدأ بالشفاعة بل يسجد فإذا أذن له شفع. A description of what the Prophet will do, and that he will not begin by making intercession, rather he will prostrate, and when he is given permission, he will intercede. The sixth issue, من أسعد الناس بها, who is most worthy of the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أنها لا تكون لمن أشرك بالله, intercession will not at all be for those who committed shirk. بيان حقيقتها, and that is the verification of the real state of intercession. The real meaning of intercession, that this intercession will be given to the people of Al-Tawheed, not to the people of Shirk. With the exception of Abu Talib. Abu Talib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for him, and his intercession will be beneficial for Abu Talib, but the benefit of this intercession would be for him, Abu Talib, to be removed from the deepest part of the hellfire to be in the shallow part of the hellfire. because he supported Islam, yet he did not accept Islam. And we're going to find out why. The chapter of Allah, the chapter and the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says to Prophet Muhammad, you're not going to guide whomever you love, but Allah guides whomever He will. And Allah knows best about the guidance. Guidance is two types of guidance. وَهِدَايَةُ التَّوْفِيقِ وَهِدَايَةُ الْبَيَانِ. هداية التوفيق وهداية البيان. Guidance of the heart, هداية التوفيق. Guidance of clarification and explanation. And guidance of the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot hide the heart of others, because the hearts are controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot make one a believer, because that is, this affair is to Allah azza wa jalla. And there is the second type of guidance, and that is the guidance of clarification. For you to clarify to the people and to explain to the people, and this is our duty. But after that, after we do the explanation and the clarification, we do not have the power to guide their hearts to the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide their hearts to the truth. Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can guide, this negation refers to the guidance of the heart. The Prophet cannot guide no one's heart to the truth. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that the Prophet guides, this affirmation refers to the guidance of clarification and explanation. Because verily the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified and explained to the people the truth, but he cannot guide their heart. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides their heart to the truth. Is it time for us to call the adhan? Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So in this chapter, Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being able to guide the heart, this is the guidance of the heart, those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved. The purpose of this chapter is that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot guide those whom he loves, nor he can intercede without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he has the highest rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus all others cannot intercede for you, nor they can benefit you. But the benefit comes to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's He who can bring good to you, and it's He who can keep evil from befalling you. So we have our hearts connected with Allah azza wa jal, and our total dependence is on Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So with this, the first ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from being able to guide whom he loved. And in this ayah, there is an indication that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his uncle Abu Talib. Because this ayah was revealed, and the purpose of this revelation is the situation of his uncle Abu Talib. So we were saying that in this ayah there is an indication that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his uncle Abu Talib, even though Abu Talib is a disbeliever. Remember when we were talking about the issue of love, and love being an act of worship, and we divided love to different categories. Naturalistic love and love which is an act of worship. For the Prophet ﷺ loving his uncle, this is naturalistic love. But this love is domineered by the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith is said, what is sahih, when lamma hadarat Aba Talib al-wafati, ja'ahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa indahu Abdullah bin Abi Umayya wa Abu Jahl. فقال له يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله. فقال له أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب؟ فأعاد عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأعاداه، فكان آخر ما قال هو على ملة عبد المطلب وأبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأستغفرن لك ما لم أنهى عنه. فأنزل الله عز وجل ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين. وأنزل الله في أبي طالب إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. In the book of Sahih, it says, when death was about to come to Abu Talib, Prophet Muhammad came to him, and there was Abdullah bin Abu Umayya wa Abu Jahl visiting Abu Talib. So Prophet Muhammad told him, oh my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, a statement by which I can plead for you with Allah. So those two, they said, are you going to turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib, meaning the religion of the forefathers of Abu Talib? So the Prophet ﷺ repeated his proposal, and they repeated what they said. So Abu Talib died, and he did not say la ilaha illallah. So the Prophet said, I'm going to seek forgiveness for you as long as I'm not forbidden from doing so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's not proper for the Nabi, for the Prophet, and the believer for the associate. So as Abu Talib concerned, you're not going to guide whomever you love, but Allah guides whomever He will, and whoever he wants. So from that we have many benefits. That Abu Talib, even though he was a great support to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was reported that he was saying poetry in defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said in one of his poetry, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَجْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لولا الملامة أو حذار مسبة لوجدتني سمحا بذلك مبينا. He used to say, I know that the religion of Muhammad is the best religion, but wasn't it for I am afraid to be censured or afraid for people to talk about me, I would be the first one to be on the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what prevented Abu Talib from responding to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His glorification for his forefathers. Because by changing his religion, he is admitting that his forefathers are wrong. Therefore, he's changing his religion. This is one major reason for which many people do not believe. They say, we're not going to forego what our forefathers are doing, knowing that what you say is the truth. But also, this is one of the major reasons for which people do not respond to the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would be doing a practice in this religion, and this practice is not supported by the Quran and the Sunnah. And this practice is very obvious to be wrong. Yet when you call the people to the Quran and the Sunnah, they say, we're not going to respond to you. Because this is what our forefathers used to do. Are you telling us what we are doing is wrong? And this situation is very obvious. A Muslim country that they practice Islam by culture, not by the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You go to one of them and you say, it's not permissible for the woman to be at her mourning for more than 3 days if the deceased is not her father, not her husband. In many countries, the woman go on that period for a year. They say, no, we're not going to change. That will defy what our forefathers are upon. And the examples are many that comes under this classification. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. We find our forefathers doing something, and we are doing exactly what they are doing. But the rule of the Muslim, the constitution of the Muslim that he has to live by, is the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah. If his forefathers were a part of the Quran and the Sunnah, that is good with good. True goodness coming together. But if his forefathers were not upon the true Quran and the Sunnah, he asked Allah for his forefathers to be forgiven, and maybe they were excused because knowledge was not available at that time. But you have no excuse to refute the knowledge after the knowledge has been presented to you. But nevertheless, we can have and we can practice the guidance of explanation and the guidance of clarification, but the guidance of the heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. We're going to finish the rest, inshallah, and then we'll do it. So how did Tibak, we have finished this chapter. We stop at this point. If you have any questions, and next time we meet, inshallah, we continue this chapter and we continue the issues about this chapter. Those Abu Talib has said.
Right, so say, where did they come from?
In what book?
Right.
It's in many books, it was reported in many books. It's a famous poem that he said, and it's reported since that time. Okay. I was told that there will be food, inshallah, after the lecture. Somebody watch food, inshallah. People to eat. No, this is by far.
Okay. Alright, so all those hadiths and stuff and explanations that talk about Shifa being for Ahl Tawheed, not for the Ahl Shirk. The shirk does include the people who the only shirk is referring to is Riyadh.
Yes, because the list of tawheed you have established, the list you will be worthy of the intercession. And we know the hadith that says the hell of fire will be ignited with three people. The first one, a person who is knowledgeable, and he will be asked. He will be brought before Allah and he will be asked, "Do you know the bounties of Allah over you?" He will say, "Yes." It will be said to him, "What did you do with it?" He said, "I have this knowledge and I was teaching the people for your sake." Allah will say to him, "You are lying. You were teaching and studying for the people to say that you are knowledgeable." So this person will be taken and thrown in the hellfire. So that person, his hypocrisy, his showing off, was too much until he had the guts to lie to Allah Azza wa Jal. When he was asked, "What did you do with the knowledge?" He said, "I was doing that for your own sake." He lied to Allah thinking he's going to, just like he fooled the people, he's going to deceive Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah said, "You are lying." So we see the effect of riyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from hypocrisy, all types of hypocrisy, and for us to be saved from that, we have to exercise a great struggle against ourselves for us to be free from that, inshaAllah. Wa hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.